but I broke it. 1 Corinthians 3. We'll continue our study on the foundation of Paul. And I have to admit, going over this, it's been fun and enlightening for myself. It's nice sometimes going back and look at some of the basic truths that we hold and reevaluating them and going over them. And I really do enjoy this, learning a lot. Let's look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now as we go through this portion of Scripture, it's very evident why Paul's doing it. The Church of Corinth was just basically corrupting the foundation. They were building the wrong walls. They were doing a lot of different things. We saw the envying, strifes, the bickering about who's teaching, who's not teaching, all the different things. Putting their investment in the wisdom of men, basically, is what they were doing. And Paul comes in and he begins to establish once again his authority as an apostle, his foundation, the gospel that he delivered, and how to erect the doctrine on what he's established. So as we break into here, he goes on down to say here, look at verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So right away he begins to reestablish some basic truths to the Church of Corinth. He calls himself the wise master builder. He's the architect. He is the one that takes the reins of the doctrine that Jesus Christ has given him, lays it, establishes it, and begins to erect this foundation. Now, I'm just kind of curious, you know, I studied carpentry for a while in school, and I come to understand some things about a foundation. A foundation is probably the most important parts of the building. Just as this building here, we have a foundation that is designed to carry a one-story building. If we come along and we begin to build a building that's, we build this one-story foundation, and we try to build a four-story structure on it, the foundation will crumble. So the idea of a foundation, there's four basic rules that I remember about building a foundation. The foundation must bear the load of the building. When Paul builds the foundation, it's designed for a certain type of building to be built. Now, we get into spiritually here in a little bit, but two, it anchors. The building is an anchor in a time of storm, a time of unrest in the nature, forces of nature. And if you don't anchor that building to the foundation during the time of strong wind, tornado, or flood, the building will just move off. So it needs to be anchored to the foundation. The building also needs isolation. The foundation gives it, it isolates it from corruption, from moisture. You can take any type of building and you can build a structure on the ground, but the moisture, the sand, everything else will corrupt the building, rot it, or it'll sink. That's one thing about bearing the load for the building. It is made to a point where it allows for no movement of the building. And it isolates it from when I remember, I said you have to isolate any wood structure from moisture. So the foundation isolates things from corruption. Then the fourth thing, the foundation must give mechanical support to the building. All the functions of the building all exist within the foundation. You got your water, you got your gas, you got your electrical supply, you got furnaces, you got all, everything adds life to the building. So all these things, these are basic building codes or rules that a foundation does for a building. And as we go to look at some of this, we're going to find out that in this building, the spiritual aspect of it, Paul is the master builder of this foundation. He's the guy that you go to. Matter of fact, it's interesting enough. You want to know how to build a foundation. Let's say Dave's the plumber. Would I run to Dave, the plumber, to find out how to build a foundation? Or Ed, the electrician? So you get the idea. You run to the guy that has the master plan, that has the layout, and he knows how to build it. Also, that foundation gives the guidelines on how the building's built. We're going to look at that in a little bit. It also establishes what kind of materials you have to buy. That's the doctrine. And it also reveals the plan, future plans of that building. Who's going to live in it? So you have dead weight and live weight of that building. The dead weight is what the guidelines are for the building. The live weight would be those occupants of that building, how they function and move in it. So the doctrine that we hold actually contain all these rules. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 3, once again. He said, the foundation bears the load of the structure. Before we get into finding what that doctrine is, that foundational doctrine is, we're going to look at some of the problems here. In 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to what? Bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. He couldn't give them strong meat. He couldn't erect the building on this particular church because their foundation couldn't bear it. They're unable to bear the load of the doctrine that Paul gave. He says, there's no way you cannot... not able to bear it, for you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envies and strifes and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Just think about that. There's divisions and there's envies and strife. If you get a building contractor in and they're all dividing over who's going to be the master builder or who's going to be the architect, I mean, who's going to be the plumber wants to be the electrician, electrician wants to be the plumber, and there's envies and strifes over each other's job. What kind of foundation is that going to give you? Not a very good one. So in the church itself, they weren't able to bear it. They weren't able to bear the building because their foundation was corrupt. So the very basic rule in the church of Corinth, they couldn't, their foundation would not bear the load of the doctrine. For one, they rejected the master builder. They were referring to Paul. They were referring to the guidelines and the establishments and what reveals, that plan reveals. Go to Acts 20. In Acts 20, Paul gives an interesting statement here. In Acts 20, look at verse 35. Paul says, I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a different attitude Paul has here about things. Was the church of Corinth supporting the weak? We understand in the doctrine they weren't. They weren't supporting one another. There's divisions and envies. Paul says, you know, you should be able to support the weak. The church of Corinth, were they the weak? They were the weak. Their foundation was corrupt. Paul says, you should be able, in your doctrines, to be able to support. That's not just going up and giving the message. It's actually physically supporting the weak of the church. So when one can bear the load and follow the master builder's design of the church, there is support from the church, not only doctrinally but physically within the church. Support one anothering, so to speak. Now, once the foundation can bear the load, the purpose of it then anchors. There's an anchor for the church, just as there's an anchor for the wood structure of the building. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4. It's interesting. Paul uses all these terms throughout Scripture. And I really enjoyed finding these things. Look at verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We know that's a fulfillment of the Word. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. So this fitly framed together building is supported by doctrine. And he says, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. There is an anchor based upon a foundation that can bear the load. There is winds of doctrine that will carry us. And if you don't have the master builder's design down in your head and use it to bear the load of the doctrine, the anchor is not going to work. There's an anchor. There's a basic doctrine that we have that everything that we build on, everything we talk about, should revert back to and according with the guidelines and blueprints. This one's important. Now, even if we understand the bare lowing walls on a foundation, we understand we now have it anchored to that, this one can still come and play. If we don't isolate from corruption, or in building code terms, moisture, these two don't matter anymore. Okay? That's a real important point here. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians 2, it's interesting. A lot of these you find in Timothy and Corinthians. Timothy's warned about corruption in the church, and the church of Corinth definitely is in a corrupt state. The 2 Corinthians 2, look at verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. It's easy. How do you corrupt the word of God? Don't use the foundational truths anymore. We forget the basic truths of doctrine. Go to chapter 11. Just some simple verses here, warnings that Paul gives about our doctrine, our basic fundamental doctrines. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through your subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if he received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet in knowledge, but not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So he says, lest by the means of the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. What is our moisture problem? Outside influences from another Jesus. Another Christ, which is not another, as Galatians says. It's the same Christ, but it's from another dispensation. Teaching a Christ of the Jews that he came and taught the prophets and the laws to the Jewish nation. And we begin adapting those thoughts and those things into the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul says, we're going to see here, we're going to see what that foundation is there. Paul says, it's according to my gospel, according to the revelation of the it's according to my gospel of the seed of David. It's according to what I'm taught about that seed that we establish our foundation. But he says here, don't let somebody come in teaching another Jesus corrupt your minds. Teaching things that are not in accordance with the foundation. 1 Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6. There was a ton of these verses for this, but I pulled four just interesting ones out to look at. In 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, just a side note before we go too far. When it says about not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard a lot of people take that phrase. See, Paul believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, he does. And he'll run back under his earthly ministry. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to show here in a little bit the master builder, the guidelines that establish and reveals something about Jesus Christ that's according to the revelation of the mystery. And if you don't get that right, you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be all over the Bible. You're going to be all over your thinking. You're going to be running to Acts 28. You're going to be all these different Bullingerite type stuff. And if you don't get the master builder's plan right, it's important. Those guidelines, every time we teach, every time we pull up something we might think hasn't been revealed for a while, we always got to check it to the blueprints. Make sure it fits. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. I think this is where the church of Corinth was. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We're going to get into that when it talks about the gold, precious stone, silver, and all that stuff. That's a verse that will come to play. But he said, men of corrupt minds. He said, they're dotting about questions and strifes of words, of corrupt mind, destitute of truth. When we don't isolate from corruption and we allow men of corrupt minds to influence us, especially if we don't understand the foundational truths, we're going to be swayed. We're going to be blown off our foundation and the walls of our foundation will just crumble. Look at 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse. I'll just look at verse 1 here. All these passages are so good. This know also in the last days perilous times some come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In Romans 1, verse 16, what is the power of God? Preaching of the cross. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, denying the very foundational truths that Paul had set, from such turn away. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, for they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. Said, there's men of corrupt minds that will try to pull you off your foundation. The foundational truths that we have are like gold dust. They're the things that we hold dear. Now, if we understand, we're able to bear the load because we have the foundational truths in our mind. We have the foundational so anchored in our mind that we can't be blown from every wind of doctrine off our foundation. We also can identify moisture, as in a building code, but corruption in our part as far as doctrine. We can identify corrupt minds that come to us and try to moisten our foundation and take away our stance. The fourth thing the foundation does, it's a mechanical support. It gives us all the functions as we begin to build this edifice of doctrine and begin to understand everything that we do as a member of the body of Christ. That doctrine supports and keeps life flowing into what we do. Go to Romans 8. I'm going to use Romans 8 right here. I hear Romans 8 all the time, and people just miss the boat on this chapter. I just talked to a family member this weekend, and we went over this, and oh, it's so exasperating on this. But according to our foundation, Romans 8, you think about chapter 8. We just have 7 chapters of pure foundational truth. Romans 8 is the capsule of the first 7 chapters. It sets the ground of everything that we are in Christ based upon our foundation. And he concludes here in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these what? What are the all things? He justified us. He called us. He justified us. And He glorified us. That foundational truth in Romans calls us by Paul's gospel. We are called by the truth of the gospel. When we receive that gospel, we believe it. Then we are justified by that truth that's in Jesus Christ, the crosswork of Christ. Because of that justification, we then are glorified. Here's where we begin talking about that foundation. It reveals something in us. Our glorification. That is our furnace, our electricity That is our water line from our foundation. That is the mechanics from the foundation that supports our life in Christ. So this bearing, the anchor, the isolating from corruption, and the mechanical support that that foundation gives us must be established before any other doctrine. We don't have that established, people are just going to be coming and going all the time on doctrine. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 3 once again. Like I said, when I'm going over this, you know, this is stuff that I've heard years back. You just sort of take it for granted. Sometimes we forget to remind ourselves. Every time we open this book, we must be in accordance with the master plan. We must be in accordance with Paul. Don't ever think that any of us could not be swayed by something else. You think of the men we've had here in the past, or some of them are now, joining odd groups and different crazy things that are out there. I just had some good friends switch over to Bulligerism, and I began talking to them, and they have totally ripped the foundation of Paul's authority down. Just Paul's authority gone. Run into the book of John. Kicking out Romans and Corinthians and all the... Run into the book of Acts to establish their... Remember we talked about Acts 13? We run to the book of Acts 13 to establish body truth concerning when the church starts. That's not part of the blueprints. That's part of Israel's understanding. That's their blueprints. We don't run to another blueprint. That's why there's so many people that run to Acts 28. Because of that issue. But in 1 Corinthians 3, he says here, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And this foundation is the groundwork, Paul begins to tell the church of Corinth. It is the groundwork. And it's literally, he threw down the doctrine at the feet of believers. Here it is. I'm throwing it out. I'm building. I'm revealing. I'm giving you the truth that's in Christ. And you have to establish yourself based on those basic principles. Anything other than that, it is not the work of Christ. It is the wisdom of men. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now you have to take verse 10, verse 11 along with this. Paul says, I have laid the foundation. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay, which is Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm the foundation of Jesus Christ. I go to the Lord's prayer. I have laid foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than which is Jesus Christ. For other foundation, another Jesus. Your chief manager, the foundation that is Christ. Okay? Verse 1. Basic truth. 7, verse 1. He tells you, even as do with him. They were all beholders of me. Think about Vex, Father now. Me, I'll content to say that if Paul is Christ, man, that really makes wrong with being a Paul. I can understand, or yeah, he was under the law, and with being of Christ. Good thing, Paul's foundation. I laid the foundation, and this foundation, no, and I'm doing it to you. I'm just doing an animation. What's the church that people be followers of Paul, or be followers of Paulus, or be of Christ. We can follow Jesus, not another. Christ, another with man, bring in another nation. Even Paulus could bring. But they weren't the man. Be followers of me, even I am of Christ. Paul said, don't wisdom. That's the difference. And we got to think that. Because people say, you know, I was studying baptism for me. Dan was a piece of the gospel. You can and follow Jesus Christ. It's not our fountain. That's what's here. So people say, I am Christ. Is Christ divided, crucified? In other words, it's not my doctrine. Paul wasn't crucified for you. Jesus Christ was, according to the rest. What's going on? Separators, resurrection. You've been an apostle, which says, but it's so salvation, get to heaven. It says, two evil, but the Christ with the dead. Like, just credit through a man from David, Jesus, Romans, familiar verses. Remind me, him. He tells the first they had to him, having to end the persecution of sins, manifest of all nations, begins in his church, the gospel. It's important. It's I'm just going to do it all the amazing. Under is the age of tech, the founder of the plumber. Go over to Blueprint. Any of you that has the daughter, it's important. Him is, he has all, as an apostle to us. So, Jesus from the teaching of Galatians, which now is after the built. We be free to the seat of all the phages, and we from complete founds the whole building. You're going to be able to recognize, or like that guy said about Republicans in the Walmart, you can smell them. I'll get a little political here. You can smell the corruption coming. Just the first couple sentences, you know, guys, what I'm talking about. You sit with somebody, just if you get them right, you get them talking, you can just the first couple complete sentences, you know where they're going. It's either grace or the law. It's one or the other. And Paul says, I've set the guidelines. I'm the master. The guidelines are here. Now, I've got 5 minutes to get two more points in here. Paul's foundation establishes Paul as the apostle for this age. And that was a big one in his ministry, even among the church of Corinth. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians, I've heard Dave talk about it. It's Paul's talking about himself here, establishing his apostleship, reasserting his authority. He did that through many places throughout his churches. He had to assert his authority. He had to establish himself as that master builder. So every time we get a little off course, if I go over to the book of Acts to establish where the church is built, I'm picking on that because I really don't like that doctrine. I use the book of Acts to establish the church. Whose authority am I using to establish it? The person that wrote the book of Acts. Not Paul. Luke, yes. Luke. I'm using Luke to establish church truth. I can't explain how dangerous that is. I know I get people that are big on the Acts 13 thing and Acts 9 thing, and they just shake their head at me. You're making a big bill about nothing. I said, no, I'm not. Paul tells me that it's according to his gospel. Matter of fact, do you guys remember? I mean, we're a pretty tight knit group here. I got to think of his name. He was a man that was a high point Calvinist. You might remember him. He was a big guy. He was a radio host on the radio for a while. He came to one of our conferences and was just trying to destroy our Bible in right division. Denny. I can't even think of his name. I don't know how. This is on air, so I better be careful here. But this guy came. I remember I was cleaning the church down here, and we had on the marquee conference on the authority of the King James Version. He stopped in and began to talk to me and had all this literature about how we can't trust the King James Version. And we got talking about the gospel then and how he believes that the truth is the same from Genesis to Revelation. There's no difference whatsoever. There's no Paul authority and all this baloney. So basically what I didn't realize I did at that time, I do now. I basically went back to my foundational truths and I went to the what bears the load, the foundation, and I established Romans 16:25. And I said, well, according to this, Paul's message says it was kept secret since the world began. Then you go, of course, to Acts 3, where it says it was since the foundation of the world. I think it's Acts 3:19. I remember him sitting there looking at that. He went, well, he closes his Bible and says, well, back to the Bible issue. I said, no. We're going to look at this issue here. So he says, well, I have to go home and see what it says in the Greek. And that's where it went. He had to go to, as the verses we were looking at, we're not ones that corrupt the Word of God. He went back in order to get past this foundational truth. He had to corrupt the very words of God. Hath God said? Hath God said that? So if you want to establish yourself among the community or among those who you talk to, all you got to do is teach basic truths. Basic revelation of the mystery. Basic cross work. Paul's authority. And you'll get everywhere. Look at Ephesians 3. Hey, the older I get, the less I can remember names. That is terrible. So if I ever forget any of your guys' names, don't be shocked, because it seems to be a constant thing for me. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he may note on me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words. And we go on down through there. But he says here, this I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Let's go down. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, or partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. There's that foundational truth. By Christ, by the gospel. He says, Paul establishes his authority to the Gentile nations, for all nations' sake. That's who part of that foundational truth is. Number 4. Paul reveals some things here also. He reveals here the mystery in Christ in the heavenlies. Look at verse 4. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He establishes his apostleship to the Gentiles. He establishes his knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, the purpose of all this, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, this verse, I was just thinking, just an off little rabbit trail. Dave has been talking about Satan not knowing everything. I think this is a proof text verse for that. The angels did not know. They're not. What's the word they use for that, for unknowing? I can't even think of it now. There we go again. But they're unable to know everything there is about God. He says the church now, the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the man. We're now teaching. Satan's thinking, going, holy cow, look at what happened here. The church is revealing stuff that I don't want to hear. In verse 11, the very first word, according. His whole apostleship, his whole mystery, everything's according to the eternal purpose which he purposed where? The foundation supports all this through a master builder. Mystery supported by Paul's foundation. The mystery can't be supported by Peter's foundation, or John's, or Cephas, or even Paul's wisdom. But Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ can. It reveals a mystery. One last thing. I didn't put this on here, but sort of mixes with it. Paul's foundation lays the guidelines for the day that Christ returns. in this foundation, the mechanics, it supports an understanding of the day of Christ for us. Look at Romans 2. In Romans 2, look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, according to the master plan, according to the guidelines which establish and reveals. That foundational truth supports that. When there's information that Paul gives us and allows us to look at that day of Christ as part of the mystery. It's a verse you hear many people run to for that. Last verse here, 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, the Master Builder begins to talk about his last times here on earth, and he says, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but all unto all them that love His appearing." Now we're going to get into that more next week. We'll talk about the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. We'll get into a little more of that next week. But Paul establishes the foundation. And through that foundation, everything else is built thereon. So anything that we talk about must be in accordance, in agreement with that foundation. Any questions, criticisms, or anything?